Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I see what happened now. Rob and I figured it out. So I was on American Football Database, for those of you that were listening to the end of the last segment. This website that I was using for the answers, incredibly old. It has Brady with only 3 championships. I mean, this thing, American Football Database, I don't know who is in charge of this thing, but you got to update it. You're not current. You're not hip with what's going on. You're not hip. Yeah, they have Brady with 5 starts and only 3 wins. A lot has changed since that for Tom. He's still winning them. He could win this one. That's kind of how things work here. Congratulations on getting through your day. I appreciate you listening. Thank you so much for making me a part of your day. I hope that you had an amazing day. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. We'll talk to him about Saturday's game against the Broncos. We'll also look ahead to Sunday's game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's just kind of start with this, and I don't know what hits you have playing, Rob, but let's just start with this. I am not a huge fan of the 18th week. I don't think anything was wrong with the schedule before. It was nice and symmetrical. It made sense, you know. I like the 16-game schedule. I'm not really a fan of them changing wild card weekend. We had to completely revamp the playoffs to ensure teams like Pittsburgh made it. We had to completely revamp the playoffs to make sure teams like Philadelphia or last year's Chicago Bears made it. Like, we had to make sure that we include those teams in the playoffs. So to me, in some ways, they've watered down the playoffs, and they've also gone against what they tell me they stand on, which is player safety. So I'm not fully embracing the newness of the NFL. But boy, was yesterday great. I went into it a major skeptic. I didn't think that there was a whole lot of good games on paper yesterday. The 325 slate felt like a complete waste of everyone's time. And there weren't many great matchups at noon. It was kind of lopsided, honestly. It felt like we were all sort of waiting around till Sunday Night Football, which was the clear marquee game of the day. Yesterday was one of my favorite weeks of the year. I'm sitting there glued to watching the Texans play. And the Texans game was fun. I don't know what youth or fountain of youth that Danny Amendola found, but it felt like 2014 all again. I'm sitting there watching Davis Mills, and I'm like, huh, this kid's kind of impressive. Be curious to see if Houston gives him the starting job this offseason and lets him move forward. We finally saw Trevor Lawrence play well in a Jacksonville Jaguars uniform. We've been waiting since September for that to happen. Yesterday was a lot of fun. The San Francisco game against Los Angeles ended up being good, and we got an all-time game in the Sunday Night Football game. The NFL has mastered television. You know how hard it is to master something? I remember there was this line in The Last Dance, and it stood out to me, that B.J. Armstrong said to Jordan, once he mastered basketball, every game he went in knowing exactly what he needed to do to beat you, that he had such an understanding of basketball that he knew in every single situation what he needed to do to get the better of you. We live in a society that does not value live television. Rob, how many shows do you watch the moment it's on? And you watch as much TV as anybody I know. I'm not saying that with no shade, but you watch a lot of TV. I watch a lot of TV. How many shows do you feel like you need to watch? How many shows do you feel like you need to watch it live and interact with other people? There's not a lot of shows. Even the most popular shows out there, Yellowstone, Sons of Anarchy, Abbott Elementary, whatever show, no one feels the need to move their entire day and schedule around anything on television besides the National Football League. I love the NBA. I don't really go out of my way a whole lot to watch the NBA games. If they own, they own. Now, I'm happy on a Tuesday to turn on the NBA. I'm happy on a Friday on ESPN to turn it on there. I'm not really moving things around for it. The NFL has figured out a way every single week, regardless of who's playing, when they're playing, why they're playing, to get you completely enthralled in their product. Yesterday was a masterclass on television. You really cared about who the one seed was going to be in the AFC playoffs. We then really cared about who the 6 or 7 seed were going to be right when we see that the Colts lost. So that's completely booked. CBS then flips over, so you get to watch the last 8 minutes of Steelers-Ravens. That game is over. You then watch the Rams game, which was the only game that mattered in the 325. That then led into a great football game on Sunday Night Football. They figured it out. They have unlocked television. It was incredible theater yesterday. I loved just about every minute of watching the games yesterday. So the Sunday Night Football game, yes, my Los Angeles Chargers, who I picked to win the division in the middle part of the season, it's hard to win the division if you don't make the playoffs. The Chargers will not be participating in this year's NFL playoffs. But let me defend the Chargers for a final time. So Brandon Staley right now is catching heat from a lot of different people. Everybody is criticizing the timeout. I'm sitting there watching my guy, Nick Wright, on First Things First, and Chris Broussard crushing Brandon Staley.
All right, this isn't trigonometry class. This is football, all right? Sometimes you got to go with your gut. And here's what I'm saying, Nick. My gut tells me, because Rich Bisaccio, the coach for the Raiders, said that we had talked about on the sidelines playing for the tie. Okay, I look at that like retirement. Once you talk about retirement, once you consider it, you've retired because you won't have the energy, the adrenaline, the resolve that you had before you ever thought about that. And that's what I was seeing in the Raiders. I was seeing that they're letting the clock go down. They're like, look, we didn't cheat the game. We played to win. And it turns out this is going to end up likely as a tie. And then when Staley called that timeout, I thought it awoke the Raiders to what? Oh, he's still trying to win this game. Oh, he's got another timeout left after this. So we can't just run out the clock. He's going to try to stop it, get the ball back, and work some miracle to win this game.
All right, let's go through the scenario really quickly on what actually happened yesterday. This is what happened. It was 3rd and 4. And Vegas is looking at 2 possible scenarios. On that 3rd and 4, there is a very small chance of them missing the playoffs. With how much time is left on the clock, the fact that they have the football, knowing that a tie ensures you at least make the playoffs, the Raiders then hold all the cards, right? They hold all the cards in that scenario. They are not losing the game with how much time is left. They are not losing. So the Raiders are then faced with a decision. Do you want to play the Kansas City Chiefs or the Cincinnati Bengals? So if anything, that's what I think the timeout allowed somebody to tell Vic Fangio. Well, these are the 2 possible scenarios. If we tie, we play Kansas City. If we win this game, we play the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, we've seen the Chiefs and the Raiders play each other earlier this season. It didn't go so well for the Las Vegas Raiders. So we think on third and four that the Raiders weren't at least going to try. If you get a first down, you kick a 54-yard field goal and you miss it, no harm, no foul. Now, your playoff path is more difficult, but at least you're in the dance. But they were not going to just completely surrender, given there was a choice. There were two alternate routes they could go. They picked the better matchup. So I believe Brandon Staley called timeout to try to put his best run-stopping defense on there. I think the Raiders went through, hey, what do we do here? Oh, okay, these are the two scenarios. All right, well, let's go for it. Playing Kansas City is not smart for Vegas. Styles make fights, and their style this season does not match up well against Kansas City. Now, we might have to see them in the second round, and we'll see if Las Vegas is coming to town. But they were always going to go for it. There was no penalty or no harm in trying it. So what I think is happening with Brandon Staley is we are so anti his aggressiveness, and I think there's reasons to be. I don't know what the analytics said on the fourth down decision where they went for it deep in their own territory, but it's wrong. This is where we got to use common sense and not computers. I'm all for the numbers and following the stats and the math and the probability. Going for it and that going for a fourth and three on your side of the from the 18-yard line is not smart. It is not good football. It is not gutsy. It is not ballsy. It's stupid and reckless. And you gave 3 points to your opposition. You gave 3 points away. So that's my overall thought on week 18 in the National Football League. I thought the Sunday night football game was tremendous. I'm still not fully on board with adding games and certainly with what they've done to the playoffs, but what does it matter? I'm still going to be watching it. I am excited that on Sunday we get 3 straight games. I'm actually really into the Monday night game. I think it's a really cool concept that we get a Monday night playoff game. Like I complain, but I mean, I'm still going to support it. At this point, the NFL is like Chipotle. They were handing out E. coli bowls there for the longest, and I basically was gone for like 2 weeks, and then I came right back. So, I mean, I can do all the complaining in the world. It's not going to change any of my habits. So coming up in just a little bit, we'll play our conversation from earlier with Patrick Mahomes. But, Rob, let's do a couple hits here.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go!
Well, the hits were brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio repair in Kansas City since 1967. Carrington, I stand in this chair for the last 2 years, and I've heard one thing from you over the last 18 weeks of football. And that's you would love to see Mecole Hardman be utilized in a Deebo Samuel-ish type of role. With Tyreek Hill battling a sore heel, no run game to speak of, and not much else going for the Chiefs offense. They seem to do that on Saturday with Mecole Hardman. Are you happy to see the Georgia wideout in that new role?
You know what, Rob? Cut the beat. It's been a while since we cut the beat. I've been letting the beat build a little bit. I was right about Mecole Hardman. I don't get to say that very often on this show. But I want my credit. I've been sitting here for weeks saying how they should find a role for him. He's one of their most explosive players. Let's manufacture touches. Let's get him the football. Let's try to get the most out of Mecole Hardman. It's almost my same stance on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That we've got to the point with CEH that we talk about what he's not and we don't really discuss who he is or what he is or a skill set or that he's a productive player. Mecole Hardman is never going to be a number two wide receiver for this team. He's not going to develop into one. He doesn't appear like he's going to be a precise route runner or a really reliable wide receiver. He's never going to evolve into what Sammy Watkins was. Just a really just the over-the-middle, tough, kind of wide out. That's not what Mecole Hardman's going to be. You remember whenever you played the NCAA video game, how sometimes you would recruit a guy and it just said athlete, and once you got him on campus, you just like figure out what he can do? That's what Mecole Hardman is. I don't really know what he is. He's not really a great wide receiver. I don't think he's durable enough to be a running back. He's not Deebo Samuel. Like, Deebo Samuel has run by you and run over you speed. Not a whole lot of guys like that in the National Football League. But I do think we see, if you give Mecole Hardman the ball with his speed and his athleticism, more times than not, something good can come from it. And they just don't really have a whole lot of those guys with the explosive, high-end athleticism and speed of Mecole Hardman. So I will bang this drum the entire postseason. They need Mecole Hardman. Outside of Hill and Kelce, the most explosive and dynamic playmaker that they have on their team is Mecole Hardman. And getting him the ball in manufactured ways is one of the smartest things they can do offensively. He needs to touch the ball between 4 to 6 times. And out of those 4 to 6 touches, he'll break one or two of them because of his incredible speed. He flipped the field for him on Saturday. After Vic Fangio decided to forfeit the game and give the ball back to the Chiefs, they ran a screen play. Hardman gets 31 yards, and the game was effectively over at that point. Give the ball to your speed and playmakers, and that's Mecole Hardman. Hit it, Rob.
He's a Super Bowl champion and NFL MVP.
Mahomes throws for the end zone. The pass caught. Wide open touchdown, Kansas City.
And there's only one place in Kansas City.
Mahomes guns it long for the end zone. Wide open touchdown.
And the only one place in the country.
That's what's great about the NFL. You keep building and trying to play your best football going into the playoffs and trying to get to the Super Bowl.
That talks with Patrick Mahomes every week. And that's right here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Our conversations with Patrick Mahomes are brought to you by Google Fiber. Earlier today, we caught up with the quarterback of the team. Our conversation starts with, every time they play the Broncos in Denver, something crazy just happens. They had the left-handed throw. Mahomes was injured in Denver with the knee, and he also made his first career start. We had another wild game between the Chiefs and the Broncos in Denver.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's always a tough place to play at. They always have a great team that plays hard. And obviously, we didn't play our best football early in the game, but I thought guys stepped up when we needed to and found a way to get a win.
No, guys certainly did so, especially Melvin Ingram, a big play there. What's the reaction? What's the mood on the sideline whenever Ingram makes that big play?
Yeah, I mean, just excitement. I mean, we needed that big play in that moment. The momentum was kind of in their favor a little bit, and, I mean, that's the reason we got him. I mean, he makes plays like that, and he has for a very long time, so I'm glad he's on our team now.
What kind of impact do you feel he's made on the team? I think he's been one of the biggest acquisitions that any team has made this year. It seems like his energy is infectious. He plays at a really high level, and teams have really gravitated towards you. What impact do you think he's made on and off the field for you guys?
I think he's made a huge impact. I mean, he's a true pro's pro. I mean, he loves the game of football. He plays it the right way. And I think he just brings, like you said, a great energy to that defensive line room. And they have a lot of guys in there that have played a lot of great football. And to add another guy like that, that can give them some depth, let them just be who they are. It's a great influence in there. And, it's a great group of D linemen.
Mecole Hardman has his first 100-yard receiving day for you guys. I'm really big on just kind of finding a role for him and just getting him the ball in space and using his athleticism and his speed to kind of create mismatches. How important do you think that is for you guys heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it definitely can help us for sure. I mean, there's so much attention on Tyreek and Travis that whenever other guys step up and make plays happen, that definitely helps out the entire offense. And I think these last few weeks, guys have done it. With whatever it was with the COVID and then a couple, and then the whatever the pregame injury and stuff like that, guys stepped up.
Patrick, we talked about this last week with Darrell Williams, but how rewarding is it to see a guy like Mecole Hardman have a career day under you guys' watch?
Yeah, I mean, you understand how they work. I mean, it's just good to see those guys get out there and get their chance and make it happen. And I think that's what you need on great football teams is whenever guys' numbers get called, they go out there and make plays. It was definitely cool to see in that environment for him to make those big plays that really helped us get wins.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. So I imagine you were doing what I was doing yesterday. I was dialed in from start to finish. There were so many games and seeding possibilities. Were you locked in yesterday watching football?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, obviously, it's such a big week of football for everybody. But I watched all the games. I was downstairs in the basement watching on three TVs every single football game, and I thought every game was awesome. I mean, to see the competitiveness of everybody battling through to try to make it to the playoffs, it was a fun day of football for sure.
So when you're watching Texans and Titans, are you rooting for a bye, or are you just sitting there watching it as a neutral observer? Like, what are you thinking as you're watching that first game that has a direct effect on you guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're definitely rooting for the Texans a little bit. I mean, you want to get that bye just more because it gives you that first round of playoffs basically with a win. But you don't let it affect you too much. I mean, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And, I mean, it was a great game to watch, and it came down to the very end.
The Sunday night football game was one of the most exciting games that we've seen this year in the regular season. Just the whole cloud over of, is this game going to end in a tie? Who are you guys going to be playing as a result of who wins, loses, or doesn't win this football game? I thought it was great theater on Sunday night.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, it was a great game. I mean, you said it. I mean, it came down to the very end. Both teams, both quarterbacks were making heck of plays to put their teams in position to win. And, I mean, at the end of the day, the Raiders ended up coming away with a field goal to win it. But I thought the Chargers played good. I thought Herbert had a lot of amazing throws there at the end of the game to put them back in the football game. And so that's what you want in football, is you want those last-minute drives where teams go down and win football games.
I was rooting for a tie. How about you?
I mean, it didn't matter to me either way. I mean, it was going to be a lot of great football teams in the playoffs regardless. And, I mean, I thought it was good to watch a game like that of that caliber this late in the season.
I just wanted to see the reaction if it tied. You know, there aren't any football games where you're not really hoping that anyone wins. So just the overall unique nature of what was happening, I myself was hoping that it was a tie.
Yeah, no, it was cool to see, definitely. I mean, to see those guys going at it and playing as hard as they can. But, I mean, it would have been unique for sure because they both have made the playoffs. But, I mean, it just shows that when you have a rivalry game like that, you never want to tie with those guys. You want to find a way to get a win.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a couple of more minutes. You're now a playoff veteran, so to speak. You've done this a couple of times. How does your mindset change? How does your focus change as we transition from the regular season to the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different style of football. It's more physical. It's tougher. You have to play to the very end because every game's going to be close. And, I mean, it just comes with the territory. I mean, I've played in a lot of these now, but we have some new players in now. I'm trying to help them get up to speed as fast as possible because, I mean, one miscue could cause a loss, and you're done for the season. So definitely something I'm excited for, to be in the playoffs and have a chance to make another run at it.
You've played in different playoff games where you've played teams multiple times. You've played teams for the first time. How different is it whenever you just played this team a month ago, not on a quick turnaround, but, again, you just played this team a month ago?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's obviously different. I mean, you run a lot of plays versus this defense that you game plan. So you have to come up with a brand new game plan, but going against a very similar defense. They'll learn from stuff they did against us the first time, and we'll learn from stuff we did against them. I mean, it'll be a true battle of guys that are great coaches that in two franchises that play a lot of great football. So I'm excited for the opportunity.
You're a real student of the game. Was Ben Roethlisberger a guy that you grew up watching and following?
Oh, 100%. I mean, the way he was able to scramble around, make some of those big-time throws, I mean, you see it even to this day. I mean, whenever it comes down to the end of football games, he makes a lot of great throws that win games. And, I mean, you look back at that Super Bowl, he threw that ball to Santonio Holmes in that corner. I mean, that was an all-time moment that will forever be remembered in NFL history.
How crazy is it when you think of, you know, growing up and you were in elementary school whenever Ben Roethlisberger was drafted back in 2004, that you could potentially be playing in his final game?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely it's an honor to be able to play against guys like these. I mean, guys that are Hall of Famers, guys that have won Super Bowls, won a ton of games. I mean, it really is cool to get to play in these games and get to go up against the best. And to get to go up against the Steelers franchise that is one of the best franchises in the NFL, it'll be a great honor for us.
Last couple questions here for quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. As you know, today's sort of Black Friday in the National Football League, so there's a lot of firings that are happening in the league. You guys have Eric Bieniemy, who has interviewed in the past. Do you think this is the year that his name finally gets called and he gets the opportunity to move up to be a head coach?
I mean, you don't know. I mean, it's crazy that it hasn't happened already, so you would expect it to. I mean, he's done everything the right way. I mean, we've had a great offense every single year. He's been the offensive coordinator. And he's learned from one of the best in Coach Reed. So, I mean, if anyone's qualified to do it, he is. And he has the leadership ability, and I'm just hoping that he gets his chance after hopefully we come off another Super Bowl.
Patrick, it's mind-blowing to me that you and I have had this conversation now for multiple seasons, and this year I'm a little fearful because I don't know if he has the buzz that he had the last couple of years. Last year he interviewed for 7 jobs, the year before. I'm just looking at it right now, and with the candidates that are out there, I'm just not sure if he has the same buzz in the coaching circles that he's had the last couple of years, which, to your point, is just really confusing. We're talking about a Super Bowl-winning offensive coordinator.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, it's you can't control how other people think about it. All you can do is do your job every single day, and I think he does that. I mean, he comes in every single day, and he leads us. He makes sure that we're prepared and we're ready to go. I'm sure he'll do it. He'll go through the interview process again, and hopefully someone will give him a chance, and whoever does, they'll be a very lucky organization.
Last thing here, what's your week like as we make that transition from the regular season to the postseason? What's your schedule like? What are you doing to kind of get ready for Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, I keep it very similar. I mean, I'm going to watch the film that I'll watch every single week. I'm going to prepare my body the way I prepare my body and try to go about it knowing that it's going to be a do or die. I mean, you win or you're going home. For me, it's keep the schedule the way it's been and try to go out there and play my best football whenever we need it the most.
I know it sounds cliche, but do you think it's possible to get too amped up? Like you mentioned that one mistake can kind of ruin things, and you've played in big games, you've won a lot of big games, but also keeping that same mentality and keeping that same routine, keeping that same schedule.
Yeah, no, you want to prepare the right way. You want to make sure you're doing stuff and not trying to do too much. And I think we got the guys to do it. You definitely want to have the energy. You want to be up there ready to go and playing your best football, but you want to be who you are. And I mean, at the end of the day, if you give everything you have and you are who you are and you go out there and be the Kansas City Chiefs that we know we can be, I think the play will handle itself.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. Patrick, man, always appreciate your time. I know it's a busy week. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, appreciate you, man.
Our conversations with the quarterback are powered by Google Fiber. We'll react to what Patrick had to say coming up on the other side. And I had 3 small complaints about the Chiefs game on Saturday. I'll tell you what they are next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coming up in about 15 minutes. There is an injustice that is happening right now that we try to get to the bottom of. So, Rob, I have 3 very small complaints from the game. I am in a good mood. I'm in a positive mood. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I wouldn't be true to myself if I didn't share some of the negatives from Saturday's game. Number one. Did the Broncos just tell their grounds crew that they didn't have to show up? Did they just give him an early vacation? Were they there? Did they treat the field? Did they look at the field? I'm trying to think of the last time that the Chiefs played in conditions as poorly as the field was. I mean, it was really bad. It was noticeably bad for both teams. I think they told a story of how Harrison Butker switched cleats three times in the game. Guys were slipping on routes. Butker slipped on a kickoff. It's one thing for the field to be messed up because it's covered in snow or rain, and it's just, what can you do? The field was just in bad shape. You shouldn't be able to do that if you're an NFL team. I mean, we're talking about billions of dollars of players playing on this field. People's livelihoods, their ability to feed their family are dependent on the field conditions being at an acceptable level. What was that last year, 2 years ago, where MetLife just continued to have problems? And it's like, you guys got to do something about this. I'm happy that there wasn't something serious that happened because a guy slipped or couldn't get his proper footing. I thought the field was unacceptable on Sunday or on Saturday. And the NFL just, they can't keep telling me how player safety is a thing and then they allow the playing surface to be in that kind of condition. So I don't know if it had snowed earlier in Denver, and it was bad, though. That's number one.
Aren't you the one who always tells me that NFL lies about player safety, though? They say they care, then they add a 17th game. They say they care, then they add an extra playoff team, which means more games. Isn't this another example of that? Hey, we care about player safety. We don't really care. Field conditions can stink. Figure it out.
No, you're right. It's just, if you're the Chiefs, this has to be this is unacceptable. We're not going to risk potentially losing our left tackle because he slips on the play where Joe Tooney just got pancaked to the ground. Tooney, I thought, clearly slipped in that scenario. And if your left guard just falls over at the line of scrimmage, like, it could be bad for a lot of different people. I just don't think the field was in a good enough condition. That's number one. Number two, I never thought we'd be in this position. But who in the world is Zane Anderson, and why does he continue to be a negative for this team in special teams? You remember last year where I kept screaming, stop throwing the ball to Nick Kizer? I was adamant. Please stop throwing it to Nick Kizer. Nothing good comes from throwing the ball to Nick Kizer. And eventually they heard me and they stopped doing it. Zane Anderson has not played an offensive snap this season. He has not played a defensive snap this season. He is only on the team because of special teams. And there's nothing wrong with that. Be a career special teamer. Make good money in the league. Take care of your family. Set yourself up for the next phase of your life. There's nothing wrong with that. But we should never have a conversation about Zane Anderson. We only talk about you if you do something overwhelmingly positive or negative. You cost the Chiefs 14 points the last 2 weeks. You had a hold on the Byron Pringle kick return last year that could have been the difference between winning or losing. We didn't talk about that because we were so caught up on the officials last week. But that was a clear and obvious hold right in the middle of the field, right in the sight of view of the officials that took points off the board that they desperately could have used. And on Saturday, there's no reason for you to try to block it. Why? It's 7-0. You had just gotten off the field. The Broncos had no momentum offensively up to that point. How do you get a roughing the kicker for an automatic first down? These are little things that get you beat. It contributed to you getting beat against the Bengals. It changed the momentum of the game against the Broncos. It'd be one thing if Zane Anderson was like Juan Thornhill, you know? Like Thornhill does things in other ways to help you. Zane Anderson is a special teams player. You can't then be screwing up on special teams. We shouldn't have another Zane Anderson conversation the rest of the year. If we do, something went terribly wrong.
I don't know. BYU D-back starts on special teams. Sounds like in a few years he's playing cover deep safety. He's playing 100% of the snaps. He sounds like the future of the position at safety. It can't be Juan Thornhill. It sounds like Zane Anderson.
Text line 913-576-7610. I feel for the kid, but he had a bad game. What they're asking Zane Anderson to do is nearly impossible. But if you're him and you're a fringe NFL player, if you don't play offense or defense, you only play special teams, you are a fringe NFL player. You can't afford mistakes. Perfect is what we will be. You should never come up. The only time you should come up is when you down a punt inside the 5-yard line. You can't be popping up on the film negatively. He's made three bad special teams play the last 2 weeks. They had the punt from Townsend that he misplayed, the hold last week on the Pringle return, and the roughing the punter this week that was an automatic first down, and the Broncos got their first touchdown. You just can't be a net negative. You just can't be. The last thing here. Josh Gordon. I mean, I have been crying for you to get the football. Saying you should get the football. I've been saying you should get it. They threw it to you. It was a 50-50 ball. You got to make that play. You're on this roster because the Chiefs think you can make that play. I mean, we've now seen enough Josh Gordon to know what it is and know what it ain't, right? I'm not playing this game with Josh Gordon that he's going to turn it around and they've been saving him for the postseason. There's no reason to think this. He was on the team for 12 weeks. He had 5 catches for 32 yards, and the one touchdown he got was a 1-yard slant at the goal line. Now, let's see what he looks like with an offseason, conditioning, understanding the playbook. I'm not completely shutting the door on Josh Gordon. But in the game, and when you don't get a lot of opportunities and you get a 50-50 ball at the sideline and you're the physical specimen that he is, you just got to make that play. You got to come down with that ball. That's a ball that most good receivers make that play. Most guys who have the physical traits that he have and are upper echelon wide receivers make that play. And he just dropped it. He just dropped it. Those are my three complaints from Saturday. The field was in terrible condition and unacceptable. We can't keep having conversations about Zane Anderson. We just can't. I'm not here calling for my man's job or nothing, but I'm imagining many of you only know who he is because he's committed penalties on special teams. He hasn't made a big tackle. He hasn't made a special teams play that you like. He had a hold last week, a roughing the kicker, and messed up downing the punt. And then Josh Gordon. Like, what are we doing here? Rob,
so,
you were right.
And so you said a lot of words about Josh Gordon. I was kept waiting. Rob, you're right, was what I'm looking for.
You were right. You were right. I can't argue with anything you're saying. You were right. Someone says it wasn't even a 50-50 ball. It went through his hands. It hit him in the chest. I mean, I was trying to help him out a little bit. I mean, I think it was more like an 80-20 ball. You know, I was trying to be generous to my mans. Just trying to be generous. All right, coming up on the other side, there is something that I had forgot this, but I just saw it pop up on my timeline that I'm still stunned is the case. I'll tell you what it is next. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right. by football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here. And the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
I actually got a couple of different extra points. The first one, so the College Football Hall of Fame announced their class. How is Michael Bishop not in the College Football Hall of Fame? Am I missing something? Text line, help me out here. Maybe Michael Bishop has just done something that I just don't remember, and there's like this agenda to keep Michael Bishop out of the College Football Hall of Fame, but it doesn't make any sense to me. It's not based on what you did in the pros, right? It's based on what you did in college, correct?
You would think a guy who should have won the Heisman in 98 would be in the College Football Hall of Fame, but apparently not.
I don't understand how Michael Bishop isn't in the pro, how he isn't in the College Football Hall of Fame. I don't.
Maybe it's a JUCO, like he didn't play enough years. I mean, that seems stupid to me, but I'm just spitballing here. I got nothing for you.
I mean, I'm sitting here on his Wikipedia page. It sounds to me like in JUCO, he was Cam Newton. He went to the same Blinn. He went to Blinn. He dominated at Blinn. He then transferred to K-State and almost got Kansas State to the national championship. He almost got Kansas State to the title game. How is Michael Bishop not in there? Like, I clearly am missing something. How Michael Bishop is not in the College Football Hall of Fame. Tonight, speaking of college football, hey, it's Andrew Luck. I was just wondering what Andrew Luck has been up to. Andrew Luck is on television. Andrew Luck, we don't talk enough about Andrew Luck and just what a life he lives. He made a lot of money. I don't want to do this anymore, man. I hurt all the time. I don't need to do this anymore. And then he just randomly pops up and yeah, you know, I'm at the College Football National Championship game. Like, I just want to be here. I didn't go to either one of these schools, but I just want to be here. What a great life he lives.
Only negative about that good life is he got booed in the last preseason game, which was trash by the
Colts. I mean,
it
was kind of a weird. He just announced he was retiring during the middle of the game. It was kind of weird.
I mean, he didn't announce it. Schefter broke it. Schefter says, I know this report's happening. And he was staying on the sideline.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I feel bad.
They shouldn't have booed that man.
No, they shouldn't have booed him. But, I mean, sports fans are going to be sports fans. I mean, I understand in that scenario. Like, you're just standing here. You're done. You're just not going to play anymore. Right before the season, you couldn't have made this decision in March. I get it. I get it. But, no, he's just standing there. College football is in a really weird space because on one side, a lot of people are going to say, hey, I don't want to see this anymore. I don't want to see the SEC championship part two. This is boring. It's redundant. Why do we keep seeing the same teams? That's not what the ratings say. This is good. This game's going to do well. It's going to be 14 million people that watch it. So some of you certainly feel that way. College football, it's the same five teams every year that have a chance to win this thing. You're not into it anymore. You want to see some new blood. You want the playoffs expanded to maybe get a couple of different matchups. I hear you. I'm saying that's not what the ratings say. The ratings say college football has never been better. That you will watch anything they give you. Bowl games are doing well. Every night, bowl games are the most watched thing on television. Not even the good ones. You're watching just any bowl game. It'll be Eastern Illinois playing Kent State, and you'll get 2.5 million people to tune in and watch it. So on one side, I do think college football needs to be shaken up and just needs a little juice. There's no juice for tonight's national championship game. None. There's no energy. There's no buzz. Rob, you can get into the championship game for like $300. Like, let's say today you and I were like, I don't want to work today. Let's go to Indianapolis and go to the game. $300. I saw it was $300 to get in. There ain't no buzz.
part of that's the games in Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Like, they need to play this at actual bowl sites. Like, what? There's no bowl game in Indianapolis. Why is it being played there? Just to appease the NCAA and get it closer to their offices? No. And the Final Four is usually in warm or fun locations in March. The national title game in January is in Indianapolis? Who wants to go to that?
You're right. You're right. The location is certainly an issue. Like, that's not a traditional college football place. It's just, I just don't feel the buzz, the electricity. When you go to work tomorrow, are people going to be talking about this game? It just doesn't, I don't know. I'm actually excited to see it. I think it's going to be a good game. I'm very curious to why Georgia is the favorite in this game, and I guess we'll see. Text line, I don't even know who's in this game. Probably Alabama and whoever Alabama is going to lose to. That you were, you're correct. It is Alabama and Georgia playing in the national championship game. College football fans need to determine if they want two new teams or the two best teams. We are starting to see the shift from, I don't care about seeing the best teams anymore, just give me two different ones. So, yeah, I mean, if you guys want a Michigan State-Auburn national championship game, I'm here to tell you that's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Someone on the text line says Andrew Luck's there because he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. How is he but not Michael Bishop?
How did Andrew Luck get in so fast, too?
He was a two-year starter. That's the same as Michael Bishop.
He just instantly got in.
What is the voters, Oliver Luck and his family friends? I mean, is he angry to end the show? I don't need a K-State fan. That's stupid.
Luck actually did finish second in the Heisman twice. Luck was a great college player. Now
I'm not insulting Luck. I'm just saying, why is he in but not Bishop?
We're basically just putting in any good college player now in the College Football Hall of Fame. I saw Kevin Falk was there. All right, like now what are we doing? We're just putting anybody in. I saw they had Boomer Grigsby in the College Football Hall of Fame. I mean, no disrespect to Boomer, but come on now. They got Reggie Bush in there?
I mean, we know the answer to that one.
I'm just wondering. They got Reggie in there. They got, I mean, at this point, they need to put Kyler Murray in there today. He needs to hurry up and be in there. All right, I'm out of here. Chiefs Kingdom up next. Take care of yourself.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.